Everyone who has this hope based on Jesus makes himself pure as he is pure. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Today we have a wonderful celebration, the Feast of All Saints. This is a feast that the whole church throughout the world is celebrating as a solemnity, because hopefully this is something that we will be one day, the call to sainthood. Now that call begins here in this world, huh? This world is meant as a type of proving ground for sanctity. We're called to be holy as our Heavenly Father is holy, or as St. John says, we're called to be pure as our Heavenly Father is pure. And that is, we do that not by ourselves, but by the grace of Jesus Christ, and by washing our robes where in the blood of the Lamb. This is something that we should be doing constantly, having that purifying grace, the blood of Christ, come over us, particularly in the confessional, where we ask God to forgive our mortal sins and our venial sins. That's where we encounter the blood of the Lamb. We also encounter the blood of the Lamb at the altar of God. His body, His blood, His soul, and His divinity is coming to us. So we should be pure to receive our Lord. Again, this world is a trial. The church often calls this world the church militant. But as we are engaged in a spiritual battle with Satan, now where do we get that? Well, we get that from St. Paul in his letter to the Ephesians, but also from St. John in his vision of the heavenly battle that took place between St. Michael and good angels against Lucifer and the bad angels. There in chapter 12, St. John says that St. Michael throws Satan out of heaven, but he casts him down to this world. There he goes after the woman, the Blessed Virgin Mary, who had given birth to Jesus. But God protects the woman. And then finally that chapter ends with these words: then Satan went off to fight against the rest of her offspring. Well, who are the rest of Mary's offspring? We don't have to guess. Scripture tells us. Those who keep the commandments and give witness to Jesus. If you keep the commandments and give witness to Jesus, you are offspring of the Blessed Virgin Mary. And so we, for her offspring, we should also be imitating her holiness. October is the month of Mary. We should be praying in a particular way for her intercession. But today we celebrate the feast of all those who did, all those who have made it through this world and are in heaven. We count on their intercession. At least the early church did. This is why I love using the first Eucharistic prayer, often called the Roman Canon. It was the only prayer that was used in the very early church. And there they incorporated those who died for Christ, those who literally washed themselves in their own blood by way of martyrdom for the sake of Jesus. And so the early church remembered those who died for Christ, not only the apostles, but the others, Those names I list, they should be reminding us, that we are too called to be like them. They made it through this world, so can we by the grace of God. Now, Monday we celebrate the Feast of All Souls. We are mindful that not everyone goes to heaven right from death. What usually happens is the four last things. What always happens is the four last things. You have death, judgment, heaven, and hell. That is, immediately following death, we all encounter Jesus Christ. And there we have a particular judgment over ourselves. And Jesus makes this very clear that He will be the judge. And what is the criteria? Well, we just have to look at Matthew 25. Were you generous with your time, your talent, your treasure? Did you help the poor? Give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, feed the hungry, visit those who are ill or in prison. Do those things and you'll be fine. Don't do those things, well, Jesus opens up the possibility of going to hell. And he describes it right there very clearly in chapter 25 of Matthew's Gospel. So that's a real possibility for people. In fact, Jesus says of those going to hell that the road is wide and it's paved. And then he says, and many people choose to go there. Many people choose to go to hell. Why or how? Because they won't repent of their sins. This is something that's part and parcel of who we are as Catholic Christians. This is why we begin every Mass with that penitential rite, asking the Lord for forgiveness for our sins. So, if we don't go to hell, well then we're on our way to heaven. But what about those who are not ready for heaven yet? This is where we have purgatory. I remember when I was my first assignment in Anawan as a priest, I had a wedding on a Saturday afternoon. The wedding party was mainly from the Archdiocese of Chicago, and they came all the way out to this little country parish in Anawan in Henry County. And during the prayers of the faithful, I mentioned purgatory. Well, after Mass, one of the bridesmaids came into the sacristy, thanked me for the wedding, and then she said, Father, I have to tell you something. The church no longer teaches about purgatory. I said, is that right? She said, yes. And I said, well, why does the new catechism had just come out, the new catechism includes a whole section on purgatory. She goes, it does? I said, yes, it does. Well, many priests after Vatican II were not taught this. Consequently, they didn't teach it to the people. It's something, well, we don't want to talk about that. We don't want to worry about purgatory. But yet we should be telling people about purgatory. We all have to walk into the presence of God completely clean. The letter to the Hebrews says that nothing unclean can enter the presence of God. But our God is a consuming fire. And so the early church and the fathers of the church described then a process in which we have to be purified before going into heaven. The good news is you do that now in this world. You don't wait for purgatory in the next. We shouldn't presume God's mercy. That's another sin called presumption. We should repent of our sins here. Go to confession. Do those acts of kindness that the Lord is looking for from us. And if we do all of that, we can be like the saints. We can have the joy of the saints, knowing that our future is ahead of us, that something glorious stands before us, the wedding feast of the Lamb that St. John saw in the book of Revelation. So as we continue with this Mass, let us first again pray for ourselves that we may repent deeply and sorrowfully of our sins. Let us also pray for the many who have no compunction, who only live for this world and what it offers. Let us pray that by our actions, by what we say and do, by what we don't do and don't say, that we will attract everyone to Jesus Christ, that we will attract everyone to be a saint.